Hey, everybody, this is Meredith Eisenberg.
And this is Jasper Blake.
And this is your bonus section on finding the help you need for your business. I know it's a challenge a lot of times to really find people that you trust in your business.
Yeah, one of the things we hear all the time is that whole thing about trust, you know that you can probably do it better than, your team in some circumstances. Whether or not you should be doing it is a whole completely different matter. It is a bit of a balance sometimes, but if you're ever going to get your business to the point where it can almost run without you, you're going to have to think about getting a team. So it's a good practice to get into place, even if it's just with one person really early on.
Right. And as you're thinking of scaling up and doing a new plan with your business, this is a good time to start thinking about getting the right people in place to implement that plan the best that you can. So we're going to dive in and talk about some different ways of getting some help in your business. Now, people tend to sort of go one of three different ways, and then we're going to talk about a fourth way too. So a lot of people hire a virtual assistant or a VA agency as a way of getting help in their business. And that's a great route to go.
Yeah.
I actually started out as a virtual assistant. I really enjoyed, really being behind the scenes and rolling up my sleeves and helping people grow their businesses. The trick here is that virtual assistant is this giant umbrella term that pretty much covers like any, and it's mostly women who do a lot of different things online. So you can get someone who is a technically oriented marketing virtual assistant. So I did marketing. I wrote copy. I set up Infusionsoft. I set up ActiveCampaign. I did press releases. I didn't really like doing airline tickets and the more admin assistant-y kinds of things. But there are other virtual assistants who just do admin and don't get into all the technical stuff. So you really need to interview the virtual assistant. The best way to find somebody is actually to get into some Facebook groups for VAs and say that you're looking. You can get a lot of people that way. Or also to work through AssistU, which is a great virtual assistant company that does training, and the people are very top notch. And another way that really works a lot of times is asking for referrals, but keep in mind this person is going to almost be like an employee in your company. So you need to spend the time to do interviews and, maybe even hire a couple of them to start and give them less work and see who personality-wise even, is the best fit for you and your business.
Yeah, the other aspect of this is people who will just do the work you tell them to do, or there are virtual assistants who really know their stuff when it comes to digital marketing and are quite happy to help you sort out which is the best sort of strategy for you. So, but you'll get some virtual assistants who'll say, look, I don't do coaching. You just tell me what to do, I'll do it. Then there are others who will actually walk you through the whole process and say, well, I think this will work better because, and there's an element of coaching in it. So, there is a lot of variety, and you don't necessarily need just one person who can do it all.
And also don't be afraid of VA rates, because I know that, when I was a VA, my rates were, depending on who and depending on the circumstances, somewhere between $40 to $75 an hour. And people were like, oh, that's so much money. But it really wasn't, because I only billed people. It wasn't like a full-time job where they pay you for 40 hours a week and you kind of work 25. In actuality, I had a little timer and I literally would bill my clients per minute I worked. So it was really difficult to get a full billable hour, like that was actually 3 hours of time work. So most VAs will only charge you for when they're working. And so it's not as expensive. You can get a lot done in 10 hours of work a week from a really, top-notch virtual assistant. And you might be able to get more done from a $40 an hour virtual assistant than from a $7 an hour Philippine virtual assistant that you have to really explain everything to in detail. And so that's just something to think about in the VA thing. And another route to go is a VA agency. That can be really handy when you need a lot of different things, because then the agency can pull different people into your project. It's likely to be slightly more expensive because you're paying for the overhead of the manager who manages the virtual assistants. But on the other side, you don't have to manage the virtual assistant as much. And you can work and get things done more quickly sometimes when you're working through an agency than when you're just working with the virtual assistant one-on-one.
Yeah, now if you have things that are one-off bits of work, especially when it comes to things like landing pages, you know, web pages, you know, templates, that kind of thing, then something like Fiverr or Upwork is a really good place, because you can get a lot of those things done pretty cheap.
Yeah, I've gotten some amazing logos off of Fiverr. It's just, you know, and they cost me $25 and they're equally as good as something that I've done through CloudSpring or 99 Designs or whatever. So yeah, that's a good way to go. I mean, a lot of people use Fiverr and Upwork as loss leaders. So they'll do work for you more inexpensively the first time, and then they'll charge more later on. So that's something to think about. And also make sure that the person that you hire, you know, communicates with you well, speaks English. You know, you can, in some ways you get what you pay for, I guess, is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's certainly quite possible that if you have a, you know, an ongoing need for, you know, a particular type of work, you can find somebody on Fiverr and just keep working with them and be very happy with that. Or you could just go, you know, for a one-off job, you go there, get people to bid on it. If you're spending really cheap money for something like a design work, you can afford to get four or five different people doing it.
Yeah, I've done that before too.
And choose the best one.
The one that I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, another way that people go is they go with a marketing agency or with a marketing consultant. And these are people who are very high level and can get you, hopefully, but not always, really good results. I mean, that's the thing, is sometimes a virtual assistant is actually going to get you better results in your business than a marketing consultant or agency. But with a virtual assistant, you do have to have some idea of the direction that you want to go, even if that VA kind of has a coaching bent to them. You are still directing it.
Yeah.
Whereas with a marketing agency, you're sort of putting your marketing in their hands and saying, you're the professionals, make this work. It tends to be a lot more expensive. But if you have the money to spend and you really trust that agency, you can get a lot of good results from that.
And there's a sort of a movement now that a lot of agencies are doing where they'll actually do it on results based, you know, so that you only pay them if they get you the results. So it's worth having a look at maybe that kind of approach to it. But yeah. You will pay more for sure.
And then finally, another way to go about this, especially when you're just starting out, is bartering and trading. And the thing with that you need to be careful of is you need to be sure that you feel comfortable with the exchange. So that if it's not good to trade with a coach and say, have the coach say, my time is worth $500 an hour and your time is worth $5 an hour. So you can work for me for 100 hours a month, like kind of full time, plus, and I'll give you an hour of my time coaching in exchange. I wouldn't do that. I would actually stick to tit for tat sort of services. Like, I'll help you with your webpage if you help me with my copywriting. Those tend to be really good trades. And the advantage of that too is it sort of becomes a client. So you can get testimonials and referrals off of that barter and trade work that you do. You just need to treat it like a real paying client. And you need to be really clear on what the expectations are.
Yeah, don't fall into the trap of seeing this as getting free stuff. You know, don't forget the person doing the work for you, that is a value. So treat it as if you were paying money for it. And give back in kind, you know, and then it should work fine. And it's a great way to start if you're just starting out and you haven't got a lot of cash to spend. That can be a great way, not only of getting some bits and pieces of work done, but also networking with some other people in the online world.
Okay, so now that you sort of know where to find some help, we're going to talk about finding the right person and figuring out what it is to delegate. Because a lot of times people are afraid to delegate things because it's cheaper or they wouldn't pay that much to have that done or whatever. And so this is a way of, asking yourself some questions to get yourself to the point where you're delegating the very best things in your business to pass on to somebody else. And we have, as part of this session, we have a link to a Google sheet that I made that goes through some of these questions and helps you to delegate. Helps you to know.
Well, helps you to work out what you should be delegating. Yeah. Because a lot of the time, people struggle to do things because they think, well, I can't afford to get someone to do this. So they will, beat themselves up till 2 o'clock in the morning trying to work out how to, put a video on their webpage or something. And, you don't want to be in that position because it's just going to drive you crazy.
Right. So what you want to look at is what is play for you. And what is the one thing in your business that you're really, really, really good at? So, for example, Jasper is an amazing coach. So it's really ridiculous for us to have him spending too much time playing around, connecting things in ActiveCampaign and all of that, because that is not his superpower. On the other hand, I love that. Yeah. I could sit and play an ActiveCampaign and try to make things happen all day, every day. And it's not even work for me. It's just almost like a hobby. It's kind of like knitting is what I call it, like doing all that stuff.
And that stuff just drives me bonkers.
And so that's why we're a good partnership, because we can sort of do those things. And think of it, if you could sit and be like, the artist and have your canvas and have your paintbrush and have someone bringing you trays of paint and water and all the different things that you needed to, make your masterpiece, what would those different things be and what would those roles be? So you want to ask yourself, again, what do you do very best? What is the core of your talent? Why did you start your business? What is it that you wanted to do? I mean, yes, we all start our business in some sense to make money, but we also start our business to help people. And so how did you envision you personally being involved in providing that help to your clients? So if you really like coaching and you start a coaching business, you probably aren't going to outsource the coaching right away, or ever, because people want to talk to you personally. And then also, what shouldn't you be doing? Like, there are some things, like with me, I had this job for a while where I was doing, I like doing marketing work and I like doing the technical work to a degree. But there's a certain level of complication that it gets to and a certain level of detail orientedness that I actually don't have. So I really should not be doing something that is very tedious and very repetitive and very detail-oriented, because I miss things. I'm much better at the big picture of figuring out how to do it and then having someone actually hooking the things up and creating these complicated, campaigns and all of that. So that's something that I shouldn't be doing. I shouldn't be doing our bookkeeping, because it's the same thing with the detail-oriented that I don't have.
Yeah, it's interesting that, a lot of the older clients who we work with, they weren't sort of born and brought up with tech like some of the youngsters are nowadays. And they find it really, really difficult. It just doesn't equate to them. They don't understand it. It just drives them crazy. Nothing works like they think it should work. So if you're in that position, you should not be doing it. You have to get somebody else to do that for you, because it will.
It's not worth learning it.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to kill your creativity. It's just going to bring you down.
And it's a lot like being a dentist and learning how to use the PBX system in your dental practice. You really shouldn't be answering the phone. It's not worth it. for you to do that. As a matter of fact, if you go to the doctor or the dentist and it's the doctor sitting there at the front desk, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little scary. You want the doctor to be the doctor and the receptionist to be the receptionist and not have them do all of it. And so you need to kind of do what you do best. Think about, you know, if your business started to grow really fast, what would be the first thing you'd give up? For a lot of people, it's bookkeeping.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this really applies to a lot of sort of solopreneurs. They think they have to do it all themselves, but it's actually a lot better if you don't. All the successful, you know, coaches that sort of certainly appear to be the sole person in their business.
Oh, they aren't. No,
they have a team of like 20 or 30 people doing all this stuff for them. And that's really what you want to aim to get to eventually. Obviously, you can't do it at the start. It's got to be, you know, maybe one person. But certainly, you know, if you're going to get your business to the state where it can scale, then you need to outsource stuff. You just got to.
And then finally, what is that one nugget that makes your process or your business unique? A lot of times it is you and working with you. So the more work that you can do with the clients, even if it's just creating the plan that you have other people implement, but you need to think about where your customers want to see you in the process versus somebody else. And so finally, you know, this is the thing, and this is where you're going to die if you don't do this right, is you need to realize that time, not money, because money you can replace. Time is the most important asset in your business. Once you've spent the time, it's gone. So every minute you spend trying to do things that you don't know how to do is wasting money that you could make. And so how much more could you make if you are actually, you know, serving your clients instead of being on Google trying to figure out how to do all of these different things?
That's right. I love Meredith's artist analogy, because again, as a painter, you know, your money is in the actual art that you're creating. You know, the money is not in mixing up the paints or cleaning the brushes or, you know, sweeping out the studio. You know, it's creating that art. The art is your money. And that's precisely, you know, where you want to be in your business. You want to be the artist of your business.
And so in order to actually get to the point where you trust people, you need to set up systems. And that's the systems are the foundation upon which you can build a scalable business. And that's also the foundation upon which you can sell your business eventually, because you'll have everything laid out. This is how we do this particular thing. This is how we do that particular thing. So you want to be really clear on your end results. And you want to, as you do things for the first time in your business, you want to document the steps. Anybody who works with you, you want to have them document their steps that they take so that you have that. And then once the steps are documented and once the system is in place, give it to the person that you're working with and trust them to do a good job.
And I think this is especially true in a lot of tasks related to marketing, that once you have that process, you've got those steps documented, then, you know, a VA can very easily implement a lot of it, you know, at, you know, $25 to $40 an hour, you know, where you're, you know, shoot, you're the one that's earning the $300 an hour, and then it makes it worthwhile. So yeah. Document, document, document.
And so that brings you to clarity. And that's one of the most important things about working with other people, no matter how you work with them. I mean, whether this is, you know, this is for your business, this is for volunteer work. However, you need to be really clear on, okay, so we will know that this project is done when X happens. So this is the end result. Because otherwise things get into this weird scaling and this weird scope creep situation where it never really finishes. So you need to be clear and say, okay, we're going to say that this project is done at this point. And so we'll know. And then we can continue on or not, depending on, you know, how it all went. Be clear about how long you expect it to take, because people work on different timelines. There are some people who are instant responders And, you know, you email them, they email you back right away. There's some people who have their time managed differently. So you email them, you might not hear from them till the end of the day. Right away for some people is like now, drop everything, do this in the next 5 minutes. For other people, it's like do it this week. And so really having a conversation about that and good communication and figuring out what that timeline means to the two of you in respect to the project and setting some little milestones and checkpoints along the way. So you're not taken by surprise at any point. Say, okay, so you're going to help me with my LinkedIn profile. So when you've gotten the new copy written, check in with me and we'll do that. Check in with me again when you've gotten the banner and the photo done. And I think it's going to be about this time. And you can also have the person that you're working with give you the milestones and the check-ins too, if it's something that you don't know a lot about. But you should have 3 or 4 mini steps where you check in along the way, just to make sure that the project is going well.
And this is especially important really when you know how a project is done. If you've done it before, that's really useful to know, because if you're hiring a new assistant and they're taking 4 hours to do something that should take 1, then obviously that sets off alarm bells. You don't want to be ripped off, but it may be because they are not familiar with the process and maybe
or a bit with of training your company. Yeah. And so that's the other thing, is finding a good fit, you know, making sure that the skills are the skills that you actually need, that the cost is something that you can easily afford, and easily afford if it takes a little bit longer or costs a little bit more than you thought. And that your work style is compatible and that your time zones work, and that, you know, if you want someone to email you back right away, that the person knows that and is okay with that. Or if you don't want someone to email you after 5 p.m. ever, that the person knows that and is comfortable with that. So it's just sort of finding that person that meshes with you. And here's a hint, is that hire someone for a project. For one sample small thing in your business, you don't need to get married to them on the first date forever and ever. Amen. I'm never going to have another VA except for you, because you're the first person I interviewed. And, you know, that is sometimes that works out, but sometimes it really doesn't. And so test a couple different people, do a couple different projects with different people, and you'll find the people that work best for you.
Yeah, it's exactly the same as when you're working with a coach. You have to find somebody that resonates with you and you enjoy working with them. And that's not going to be everybody. You know, that's why, you know, it almost doesn't matter how many coaches you have, because, you know, people will find the one that resonates with them. And it's exactly the same with a VA. You want to be able to work with somebody who you're, well, both ways, comfortable with working with. And there's no harm nor foul in saying, look, you know, the way that you work is just not how I like to work. You know, I need to work with somebody else. That's fine. And, you know, just make sure you find that right person, because being stuck working with the wrong person is just going to be miserable for both of you.
Right. So now that you sort of know how to find the person, and you know how to sort of figure out what to delegate, your homework is, and we have that delegation spreadsheet, which will help you out with that a little bit. And so there's a link to that by this video, is to write down everything you need to do in your business or for our project that we're planning together, and rank them by, you know, and this is what the spreadsheet does, rank them by how easy it is, and then also how close the task is to really your business mission. And so you want to start delegating out the hardest tasks that have the least to do with your actual core mission. And so that's how you can decide what the best things are to delegate. And we're here to help. If you want to run anything by us, feel free to do so.
Absolutely.
And we're happy to send us an email, and we're happy to give you our opinion about what the best things might be to delegate for you.